This is our second session on Islam, and we'll do a quick recap of what we did last week. We learned that Muhammad was an orphan from Saudi Arabia, or what is now Saudi Arabia, in the 7th century AD. He married up to a woman named Khadija, who was older than him and had a very successful business, and he worked with her. And he worked as a traveling tradesman, or salesman, you could say. He received a revelation from God, from the angel Gabriel, but it's the angel Gabriel, as we would know it, that he was going to be the last prophet, and that he was going to have the last revelation from God, the final religion. We learned that their beliefs in God are that God is one, but no Trinity. We are way separated from him. There's no way that we can have a relationship with him. There's no way that we can really commune with him or hope to be with him, because he's like us and we're like ants to him. We don't communicate with God, and the purpose of creating everything for him is to manifest his own power. That's very different than the biblical God. Their doctrine of creation, God created everything in 6 days, like it says in Genesis, but the creation changes over time. It is developed over time. Earth is a place of banishment from Eden, and it's a place of testing for human beings. And God told Adam the name of the animals. Adam did not name the animals. There are angels, like we would understand them in our theology, but there's also jinns. And jinns are kind of mischievous spirits without a body. They can be good. They can be bad. We can kind of coerce them into doing things for us. And Satan is actually a jinn in Islam. Man was created by dust, water, clay, and a drop of semen. There is no image of God in man. Like the Bible says, we're made in the image of God. According to Islam, we are not made in the image of God as the Bible would teach it. And we're not created for direct personal relationship with God. According to Islam, man, the chief end of man is to obey. It's not to be with God and glorify him forever. Do everything for the glory of God. Enjoy being in his presence and relationship, like the Bible would say. Islam means submission. Or submit. And the chief end of man is to obey Allah. Man is also not depraved. We're not sinful in the way the Bible says. Man is merely weak and ignorant. We're not morally sinful or depraved. And like the Bible teaches, a fall where Adam and Eve fell after rebelling against God and sin entered the world. In their fall, man did not change. They were just kicked out of Eden into the earth for testing, but their nature hasn't changed. And then man enters God's presence only one time. That's for judgment. And if he goes to paradise, God's not there. There's God, Allah, is not in heaven. Paradise is just a man-centric paradise for everything that man loves. So sin, there are greater and smaller sins, and Islamic teachers are really concerned with which are the greater, which are the smaller, and following a big list of rules all of the time, all of these laws. There's nothing right and wrong by nature. Things are made right and wrong by the order of God. Whatever he says is right and wrong is right and wrong. And remember, during Muhammad's life, what is right and wrong according to God can change, because Muhammad could get new revelations. And then if they contradicted a previous revelation, the new revelation is the one that's right. And sin is not against Allah. Sin is against oneself. So when you're sinning, it's not against God, as the Bible says. It's merely against yourself. And then salvation is, in the Bible, it's a gift. But in the Quran, it's success, it's blessing, it's reward, it's not a gift, and it's obtained by obedience and faith to what the Quran teaches. And last time we were together, we covered all that, and right now we're in their salvation, what they believe about salvation. And just before we quit last time, we went over the five pillars of Islam. And so what you must do, what is required for salvation, if you are ever to attain it, is to follow the five pillars, which is Shahada, which is confessing Muhammad and Islam as being true three times. And then the Salat, which is prayers. It's the ritual prayers you do five times a day. The fasting of Ramadan, the giving of alms to the poor, and the pilgrimage to Mecca. Those are the five pillars, the five works one must do to be saved in Islam. And now we're going to look at their six articles of faith. Because though Islam is of works, you kind of earn salvation if you can get it. Everything's kind of arbitrarily decided by Allah anyway. You also have to believe certain things. So you do five things and you believe six things. And these are the things that you believe. So the six articles of faith. Article one, oneness of God. And it's called Tawheed. The first phrase of the Shahada distinguishes between the array of competing ideas concerning the gods of other religions and the Islamic contention that only one true God exists. So the greatest sin in Islam is called shirk, which means associating partners with God or a belief in polytheism. So what that means is the Trinity is blasphemy. The Trinity is blasphemy. The Quran refers to those who commit such a sin as infidels and considers it blasphemy. So if you ever say Jesus is the Son of God, that's a big deal to them. That's the chief sin you can do. Article 2 is angels. You must believe in angels. They call it al-Malaika. Angels are seen as messengers of God. And we've seen already, or talked about already, one called Gabriel. Gabriel communicated the Quran to Muhammad. Michael is revealed alongside Gabriel in the Quran in Surah 298. And then there's another angel called Malik, and he is the keeper of hell. And that's found in Surah 43:7-8. Beyond these named angels, most others are known by their tasks. And that's not very strange or weird to Christianity. We only have Michael and Gabriel, I think, as the named archangels, and then angels are just referred to generally. So that's a close comparison to Christianity there. So beyond these angels, most others are known by their tasks. There's an angel of death. There are angels that bear up the throne of God. And everyone has two angels watching over them. And these angels are responsible for recording the good and the bad deeds of every person. And I think there's a general understanding in Muslim theology or Islamic theology that there's a scale. And your hope is to have more good than the bad in the end. Then Article 3 are holy books. So you have to believe the oneness of God. You have to believe in angels. You have to believe in the holy books. Muslims are required to believe in a number of books. And the Quran teaches that God has revealed his will through several dispensations of writing or of written revelation throughout history. And here's what's going to kind of catch you by surprise, I think. The Psalms of David, which they called Zabur, the Torah of Moses, the Torah, and the Gospel of Jesus, the Injil. So they require, as an article of faith, that you must believe in order to be saved in Islam, you must believe in the Psalms of David, the Torah of Moses, and the Gospels. But the Gospels, according to them, and the Torah, according to them, and the Psalms, according to them, have all been misused. They're not reliable. They've been mistranslated. And it's the Quran that supersedes them all. But you are required to believe in them. So while the Bible read by Jews and Christians today is believed to be corrupted by Islam, It remains the case that the Quran presents itself as a continuation of the singular message believed to be contained in and carried by these previous books of revelation. So, of course, for Muslims, prior revelation is of less importance than that which Gabriel delivered to Muhammad in the Quran. And most Muslims hold to the idea that the Quran is the verbatim record. So listen, the Quran, they believe, is the verbatim record of a book that eternally exists in heaven called al-Kitab, which means mother of the book. So they believe that the true Quran is in heaven. Gabriel revealed it to Muhammad, and then Muhammad revealed it to the rest of the world. The Quran is the final dispensation, the final revelation of God, and thus sealing divine communication and establishing Islam as the final religion. Now, in the Quran, Surah 5:3, it says, "Today I have perfected your religion for you, and I have completed my blessing on you, and I have approved Islam for you as a religion." That's what they believe. They kind of tip the hat to our Bible while denying that it's legitimate and saying Islam is the final continuation. It's the consummation of the whole Bible. The fourth article that they must believe in is the prophets and Nabi and messengers are Rasul. A messenger is sent with a book, but a prophet orally proclaims God's word or God's message. And the Quran specifically mentions 25 prophets, many of whom seem to be references to biblical characters, most of whom, I will say, are biblical characters. And all prophets proclaim the same singular message of submission to Allah. And so you guys might start picking up on this. We'll pick up on this also with the Mormons, but there's a tremendous amount of plagiarism from the Bible and Christianity and Judaism in here. Okay, so you must believe in the oneness of God, angels, holy books, the prophets and messengers, and the day of resurrection and judgment. That's Article 5. I'm not going to try to pronounce what they call it. I'll embarrass myself. But the day of resurrection and judgment happens in four stages, according to Islam. There are signs of the end of the world, including interruptions of the natural order and a disastrous reversal of the process of creation. A trumpet will blow. Plagiarism. You guys picking up what I'm putting down? A trumpet will blow. The dead will be raised to life, and all will be gathered to God. All humankind is judged for the lives that they lived on earth. And then each person will cross a bridge over hell's fire. And those who make it across will enter paradise, while others will be dragged off the bridge into hell. And then Article 6 is predestination or fate. So the sixth thing you must believe to be saved in Islam is Muslims are required to willingly accept that which has been fated to occur, both the good and the bad. So has anybody ever seen the movie Hidalgo? Where the guy that plays Aragorn in Lord of the Rings, I forget his name. He's a Native American mixed guy, I think, and he goes over to Saudi Arabia. He races his American horse in the most dangerous race in the world, and he wins. There's a scene in there where the guy that's supposed to have won, everyone's betting on him, falls into this mud, like quicksand, and the main character comes across him, and he throws a lasso around him, and he's trying to pull him out, but the guy that's in the quicksand, he goes, "Let me be. Let me here to die. Like, it is Allah's will," or something like that. They're required to believe in, they must just accept everything that happens to them. Not in the way that we would, but in a way where they just give up and accept his fate. Like, that guy would have just laid there and died, and not try to get out thinking that's what Allah wanted for him.